The future belongs to those who control the culture, and the culture belongs to those who control the conversation. So we are having the conversations you wish you could have at church to build a safe and vibrant community. This is the Oz Table Talk Podcast. Welcome everybody to another episode of Table Talk, and in this particular episode we're starting a new series. And yes, we've been looking at we've been talking to you guys about what has been interesting to you, and you've been telling us that you want to hear about finance and Christianity. So today there's only three of us at the table. So there's myself, Luke.
I'm here.
Yeah,
I'm Dave.
Dave's here. So, and Ben. And Ben, our resident accountant and money knowledgeable person.
That sounded so weird.
That's okay.
He's our money guru.
Yes. Money,
if
me
anyone
know.
Anyone needs money, ask Ben.
Yeah, I don't think
No, that's
that works.
Right. He only manages other people's money.
Yeah. Oh. So, we just wanted to talk about this, but we wanted to break it into three categories.
It's going to be
a
three-part series.
Yeah.
Three parts.
You started talking.
Me. Sorry. I'll do it then. Yeah. Earning, saving, and giving are the three parts we're going to be talking about. So, in simplified language. Mm-hmm. So, the first, obviously, is going to be about earning. Mm-hmm. And so, what's the title for our episode today, boys?
Bringing Home the Bacon.
No offense out there, all of you Adventists who don't eat bacon.
But basically, the concept of bringing home the bacon, for those in places where that's not a normal expression, is going out and doing work in order to supply your regular needs.
Yeah.
So,
which in our case is not bacon.
Yeah. I suppose we could biblically...
I was going to say, not bacon, as in like the product, not bacon.
Yeah, so it's going to be obviously a series on finances. There's going to be a lot of talk about stewardship. So we want to define that term before we really kick off into anything else. Mm. So what does stewardship mean, guys?
Obviously, stewardship is managing something that's not yours.
Yeah.
In round terms.
Okay.
So in our case, when we apply it in a Christian worldview, that would be God is the one that gives us everything. So he gives us not only the money that we have, but the ability to make it. Mm. So we have our abilities, we have jobs, we have opportunities, and we have our time, our energy, etc., which all of which comes from God, and we are stewards of that. None of it is ours intrinsically.
Yes. So as stewards, like you said, we're managing somebody else's property. Mm. So in this context, we're talking about earning money. So we're talking about working. Is there a biblical injunction to say we should work?
Yeah, I would say yes. One of the things that stood out to me when we were thinking about doing this was particularly in Genesis chapter 2, where God creates Adam and then goes about giving Adam what he needs to survive. So he's got a place to live, he's got the relationship, you know, so he has Eve, but he is also given a task to do, to go and name the animals and tend the garden.
Mm.
So God knew that for man's happiness, he needed to do something. He needed a mission of some variety. He
needed to be employed in some way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that carried over also after the fall of mankind. So obviously none of that changed, that initiative that God saw necessary. So when Adam and Eve sinned, God said to them that there were going to be certain things that we're going to have to change. And those changes that took place, that he calls the curse was put in place kind of like as an instructive process, almost a redemptive way that God wanted to try to restore mankind back to the original image of God. And what that took was some hard lessons, right? Mm-hmm. You know, tough love, I guess you could say. And so God, one of the things that he says to them is that by the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread. In other words, you're going to have to work hard to get your food. Because before the fall, I mean, let's face it, they didn't have to do very much to
reach out and pluck that pear.
Yeah, that's right. You know, like what sort of tending and keeping do you do in a garden where nothing dies?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No weeds either.
Yeah.
It would really just be multiplication, you know, you would think.
Yeah, transplanting, grafting, you know, whatever it
Having
was they
fun.
Did. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas after the fall, obviously you've got now the introduction of weeds. You would have had to worked harder because there's the increasing degradation of the soil.
Yeah, need to till the soil, etc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so obviously not everybody is a gardener or farmer anymore. So this obviously applies in a broader context. So one of you guys want to talk about what is that broader context that, you know, obviously the working environment that God has given us, does this apply, this curse, which was a redemptive process, does this apply to other workplaces other than agriculture?
Yeah, I would say we not only... yes, it's true that it's... the responsibility, well, the example it's given in scripture, like you say, is an agricultural one. But mm-hmm. in our situation where we've got people that work in offices, we've got people that work in factories and workshops and outdoors and all and everything in between. But ultimately, the responsibility is the same. Mm. Every single person does have to do work if they are going to successfully get through life, if they're going to meet their needs. Mm. Now, in some cases, there are places like Australia where there's a government funding for people who can't get work. The unfortunate thing is this is often abused. And so when people abuse that work, then, yeah, sure, there may be cases where there are people who don't work for what they get, but they are at a disadvantage.
Yeah. And so this is obviously not meant to be a personal condemnation of anybody who may be in that lifestyle. Mm. But I think God's plan was for something more than that for everybody. So, like, for example, if you are not working, but you could be, which is not everybody, and we recognize that, but if you could be working, God's plan is that you would be working. And as we said, this is actually a redemptive process. So if you're not involved in that process, you're missing out. Yeah. That's what we're saying. Yeah. So, like, it's not like, you know, thou shalt work because I don't like you. God gave us labor, hard labor, or hard in the sense that it might be mentally strenuous, some of the work that people do, in order to develop us and to increase our potential and our ability to further flourish the image that he's created us in.
Have either of you guys ever been in a position where you have not been able to work for a period of time, like, you know, a week, couple of weeks, longer?
About 6 months after I graduated.
Yeah? And how did that affect you?
I spent all my time on hobbies.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So I spent cooking, gym, that sort of thing. But if I wasn't doing that, I'd probably be miserable.
Yeah. I had to have a few days off. It wasn't like anything major when I injured myself at work. Mm. And then I had to do light duties when I got back to work. And yeah, I found that frustrating, you know, because you feel like you could be doing more.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think you naturally get a bit bored. Some people get used to the lifestyle and become accustomed to that, and that becomes the new normal. Mm. But if you've been used to working and you stop, you often get bored and restless.
Yeah, I think restless is a really good word. So, I mean, I've been in a couple of positions where I've been, you know, unwillingly in that position, and that's a really good word for what I felt. I would almost feel like, you know, my life doesn't have a course or a purpose right now.
Yeah, you don't feel much meaning.
Yeah, exactly. And I think God baked that into us, right? I think we all have
I definitely would agree with that. I recently read a study on an increased chance in men of depression who don't work.
Mm. Yeah, great example.
Sure. So you could say we are wired to work.
And so, I want to jump on that before it gets away from us. There may be people out there who think that there's no difference between men and women. I mean, the science disagrees with them. We are different, and, you know, men have certain drives to do work and have careers, not to say that women don't, but just saying that it's more prevalent for men. But it doesn't mean that women don't work. Like, if there are some women that have an incredible drive to be a mum or to work at home, just because a woman may not have a drive to have a career in an office doesn't necessarily mean that they're not working hard and working at what God gave them to do. So I just wanted to point out that it's broader than just guys going to work. It is for all humanity, really. There is something to be done.
Yeah.
Sorry, go for it, wherever you were going.
So as stewards of the abilities and the time that God has given us, he said to us that it would be beneficial for us to do work, and with work comes the opportunity to earn money. But because we are stewards of the gifts God has given us, I think it's important to also recognize that when we do the labor that we do, whatever it is that you've chosen as your career or that you are currently working at to earn money, you know, for whatever else, like if you haven't necessarily settled on a career and you just add a job, that you be diligent and that you do whatever you do it well to glorify God. Because again, we are ambassadors for him on this earth. But as ambassadors for him, one of the ways that we demonstrate that we are, you know, children of the King is that we we show ourselves faithful even when others aren't, or even when we don't have to be. I find that as a bit of a temptation myself. My workplace sometimes can be quiet, and so you can, you know, get distracted and do other things. But I suppose ultimately you owe it to God and to your employer to do your best.
Especially,
God would say it, you know, through Paul, he'd say it this way: whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. And I think that's important to realize and to remember in your workplace, because you're working for your employer, yes, but you're also working for God. And so whatever you're doing, do it with all of your heart, whether even if you're not there because you want to be there. You can still choose to give it all you've got. And I think that that's our, you know, responsibility as stewards.
Even though nobody, like the human brain, doesn't operate in a way that allows us 100% efficiency, right? It's just, it's not in our nature, it's not in our capacity. But the idea is to be as diligent as possible. The example, one of the other examples that the Bible gives that sprung to mind from Proverbs is, you know, that passage in Proverbs 6 where it says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food at harvest. How long will you slumber?" And so it goes on to use an ant as an example because they are continually operating, continually working and preparing. But one of the things that I appreciate what you were bringing out there, Dave, and that we owe it to God, but more than that, if we are not utilizing our time, if we're shirking our responsibilities in our day jobs, then ultimately we are stealing from the people that employ us. We are doing what we want to do, and but we're not doing what we're getting paid to do. We're not actually serving them for what they have. You know, there's an agreement between the person who's employing and the person who is the employee. There's an agreement for what work gets done. And I understand that the nature of some work means that there's more downtime than others, but just generally speaking, if we are abusing that, then we are reflecting the character of God poorly. Especially if our bosses aren't Christians, then we are the face of God to them, and they would then see that Christianity is being demonstrated in a way that isn't in harmony with God's character. Another thing that I was thinking regards, perhaps before we go and talk more about where this is going. Dave, you mentioned before people deciding what they're going to do with their life. What would you say are some of the considerations? Because I know a lot of our audience is younger, or perhaps not quite there as far as deciding what to do with their life career-wise. What would be some of the advice that we could give from a spiritual perspective as to selecting something to do?
So there are a few important points that they do need to look at. In particular, lifestyle. What sort of lifestyle do they want to lead? Because there is such a thing as working too much. I was recently began a book on essentialism, and the guy mentions that he was at his child's birth, right? And he'd had this this pressure, you could say, to go to this business meeting straight after, and he went and did it, of course, and it was a poor exchange. Now, he was working hard, he was very diligent, but the cost was he didn't get to spend time with his wife and child that afternoon. And nothing actually got achieved at the meeting, and in fact, the client lost some respect for him because he turned up when really he should have been at the just after the birth.
Yeah, he should have been with his family, exactly.
So there is such a thing as overdoing it. And It's kind of, you've got to find that fine line. Now, when you're younger, it's a little bit harder to find that fine line between work and lifestyle. And often, it's better to say yes to a few extra things because
there's more opportunity, right?
There's plenty of opportunities. You need those opportunities to learn and grow in your workplace and as an individual. But as you get a little bit older, you've learned from those experiences, and you know, by if I say yes to this, I now know what the consequence of this will be, and whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, and you can start making those choices. Well, I'm going to say no to this because this is going to affect not only my personal life, but it'll affect my other areas of my professional life. Because if you say yes to everything, well, the things you do say yes to will be diminished. You won't have the time and the energy to sink into them and do them properly.
That's right. The quality of the work is affected.
Yeah. So what about when someone is deciding what they want to do with their life? Is it appropriate to make a decision based on amount of income?
I think it's a consideration. I think it's a poor consideration if you've got it at the top of the list, though. Mm. You know, the Bible's pretty clear that if we are living for money, then we are most likely not living for Christ. You know, Jesus says you can't love God and mammon. Mammon. also in, is it Timothy or Peter? Mm. One of them says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Mm. And I think it's true that if we place all of our focus on finances, if we're living for the money, if we're living for the things that we get with the money, that materialistic lifestyle, then, yeah, we've made a poor choice, and most of the time we exchange our soul for it, and that's just not worth it.
Yeah.
It's not even a better lifestyle for people. People often think the additional money. I remember listening to another study, and they found here in Australia, if you earn more than $80,000, your level of happiness doesn't actually go up.
Okay.
Which is interesting. Probably not for people in Sydney and Melbourne. If you live in the middle of there, you probably need more than that to actually survive.
Actually survive, yeah.
But out here...
Your level of happiness is probably not high anyway.
Yeah. Regional Queensland, that's a lot of money, so...
Mm. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But the point I'm getting at is if you're working hard for the latest toy and you go use it for a weekend, few weekends, and then you're after the next one... Mm. It's not much of a life.
Yeah.
It's true, you get a nice little toy to play with, but at the same time, at what cost? Yeah. How much time? I'm particularly thinking about some of the fly-in, fly-out workers, the miners. They earn $120,000, and a lot of them don't have any savings because they're looking for the next toy. However, they spend so much time away from their families. It's a bad exchange.
Yeah. It is interesting, though, there is a bit of a push recently for starting your own business and having a side business and this sort of thing so that you can develop the lifestyle that you want, which is kind of a mix between heading to where the Bible wants you to go and then oftentimes even further than that, where you become somewhat lazy because you've got, you know, all this money being generated from your income. And that's not to say that that's a bad idea to start your own business and become potentially really wealthy that way. Some people can do that and do it well, and it doesn't affect their Christianity in a negative way. In some ways, it can open up a lot of opportunities to do more work for God if you have your income stream coming from, you know, a source that doesn't require your time.
And this is, I think this is one of the reasons that this particular discussion is interesting to us, because represented here at the table, Ben, you're an accountant, so you've got all of the financial experience that comes along with that.
I have a regular 8-to-5.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have your own business.
Yeah, exactly. And so we're all sort of looking at it from that lens. And so what you're describing there, the whole concept of lifestyle design, is something that I subscribe to a large extent, but I also see a lot of people do exactly what you're talking about. And a lot of people, when they become their own boss, they become a worse boss than when they had a job. You know what I mean? And so they will work themselves into the ground.
They don't switch off.
They don't switch off. And it's hard to switch off. I know for me, this is one of the reasons I appreciate Sabbath, because if I didn't have that, I wouldn't switch off, because you've always got in the back of your mind, you've got that sense of responsibility. People are depending on me. My family needs money. My clients need to be served. And so it's really hard to switch off. And so it's very easy to make that an idol, you know, to make that earning a god.
Mm.
And so I think it can be, like you say, if used appropriately, it can be great. Mm. But you also have to make the decision of, you know, how much money is enough?
Yeah,
you know, and that's a challenge. Sure. That's a challenging question.
Yeah, and it is. And that's also can be quite a salvific question, because if you set the bar too high for yourself, and you're striving after a lifestyle that's going to ruin you, your spirituality will inevitably go out the window.
Yeah.
And so you've got to know when you... Okay, so some people are more susceptible to what you were talking about before, the lifestyle of going for the next toy and whatever. Mm, yeah. And if you recognize any of the symptoms of that in yourself, I would encourage you strongly to set checks and measures to make sure that you're not living that lifestyle exclusively. Mm. Because if you are, you're setting yourself up for failure in your spiritual life, right? Mm. And so that should, we would say, be, you know, the top priority. So if you have to earn less money so that you can't have those toys that will take you away from Christ, that's going to be better for you in the long run, right?
Yeah.
But then there are other people who are actually really mission-minded with their money. Mm. And I've, you know, met really wealthy business people who they give abundantly, you know, to the work of God, or they manage their money really well so that it does not become for them a stumbling block.
Yeah.
And I think if you're that kind of a person, you know, all power to you, you know, earn as much money as you can glorify God with.
Mm.
But ultimately, what we don't want to encourage you to do is trade off materials, wealth, that sort of thing for your soul, because it's just not worth it.
I heard somebody sharing once, because they were talking about the example of young people that, or you know, someone who's ambitious, and they say, "Oh, I'm gonna earn loads of money so I can do good things for God." You know, whether you know, saving orphans in Cambodia or whatever it might be, they have these ideas, and the concept is, I'm gonna go and become a hedge fund manager, and I'm gonna do that so I can get the money so I can support the work here. But ultimately, if you're not, if you don't have skin in the game, if you're not actually going and serving those people yourself, then it's very easy to just get taken by the currents of life and go and do what you do. So the moral of the story is, if you have a passion for supporting the orphans in Cambodia, go to Cambodia. You know, yes, there is a degree to which you can earn money in order to give, but you need to balance your experience. If you are doing that, make sure you leave enough of yourself and enough of your life to invest personally with where you're putting that those resources.
That's good advice.
I don't think it's enough for us to just say, well, hey, you know, I'm a doctor and I earn $300,000 a year and I give a lot of money, but I don't actually personally invest myself in spirituality.
Yeah, because then your giving can just become another ritual that you just do.
And it doesn't hurt because you have so much.
Yeah.
It's not sacrificial.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing is you're missing out on an opportunity to learn and grow as an individual.
Yep. Yes, yes. Yeah. And I think that's how God operates with us as well, because one of the ways that we get to know God better is by doing things with Him. Just like we as friends, we get to know each other better and our friendships get closer because we do projects together.
Yep.
Well, it's the same with God. And if you're just working and you're never actually going out with God to do the work that you're financing, then you miss out on a lot of that. And just to be really clear, you know, I know there's a lot of people, like there's another aspect to this. So we're talking, generally, I'm talking right now about people who earn a lot of money, but there are a lot of people who earn an average amount of money, but they fire all their time into that. And so if they're spending all of their time on that work and then they get to Sabbath and they're so tired that they can't even function and enjoy Sabbath, that Sabbath just becomes a physical recovery day, then I would say that that's a clear sign that you're doing too much outside of that. And whatever that may look like for you, I think you need to reevaluate, how am I spending my time? If I don't get to see my family through the week, and by the time I get to Sabbath, I can't even enjoy it. Even if you do have Sabbath, I think that's another warning sign that maybe we should be reevaluating what we're doing with our lives.
Mm.
So I recognize, of course, that we're in Australia, we're in a privileged position that, you know, there are some people that a lot of people may do it by choice, but there's some people who do it and they don't have choice and they're just making enough to get by or whatever. I understand that. But I'm talking about people that do have the privilege of choice.
Yeah. So just to wrap up this particular episode, notice that we called it earning, not necessarily making or, you know, receiving.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, as we stated at the beginning, God values work. You know, He values us actually earning the money that we do receive.
Yeah.
So, yeah, look, also just keep in mind that whenever you, you know, whatever you are doing to make your money, that you're earning your money, you know, that you're putting in, that you're giving your best.
Mm.
Because then you have, you know, you've earned, you've deserved that money that God has given you the privilege to earn. And then you can use it to His glory. And we'll talk about, you know, ways to use it in the following episodes.
Absolutely. So, key takeaways. God, we are stewards of what God's given us. He has taught us that work is important to us
for our good.
yeah, it's for our good, that diligence in that work is necessary if we're going to represent him well. And ultimately, we need to have work that will fit a Christian lifestyle in what we choose to do with our life.
Not lead us astray.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
So with that, we will see you guys in our next episode where we're going to be talking about penny pinching. So we're going to be talking about saving. So we'll see you guys then. And that's the end of another episode. Just before I head off, I want to encourage you to go over to our page on Facebook and also our account on Instagram and follow us there, because that is where we interact with our listeners and we would love for you to enter in and join the conversation. Also, while you're signing up, I would also recommend signing up to our mailing list on our website, oztabletalk.com.au. If you do that, you will receive our exclusive content, because occasionally we do release exclusives and they only go out to our mailing list. So I would strongly recommend you go and sign up for that. If you have a few more minutes to be one of the most amazing listeners on the planet, you can go over to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a review, because reviews help us to grow and they help other people to find us. So if you want to help us reach those goals, please jump in and give us a review. The final message that I'd like to leave you with is to let you know about our Patreon account. Now, Patreon is a way for creators to get paid for creating, and ultimately what we do does cost money to get us hosted and have the services that we need to run the podcast. And so if you'd like to help us do that, jump over onto patreon.com/oztabletalk, and you can give anything from even a dollar a month upwards. But at different levels, there are different benefits, different rewards that we want to give you just to say thank you for being an amazing supporter of ours. If you can't afford that, we would just gratefully accept your prayers, because that is what our ministry runs on. And so with that, I will leave you to your day, and thank you so much for listening to this episode. We look forward to seeing you guys next week.